seachtain an Indo-Ascaliger.
Táim I mon iarachtaí a dhéanamh teacht ar a chorp, agus súlagam amach an seo gur féidir é a chur in uaig ceart lena bhaintir féin.
Scíltaí, fios, tuairimí.
Tá sé dochreite nach bhféadfach ara i gcuirna meáin an cheist sin a eicáil.
Bhí an talam a gnám go raibh orthcháir in reachtam. Iadach sé tarann go raibh an orthcháir san i lis dúthail agus go mina fnacht gáir a chlig sár ducha sin éair. Ná ní bhíon ann tar d'oraach sé sin. Vin Marav.
Shachtan. Find us on all the usual podcast platforms.
This week on the Indo Daily.
I actually don't believe right that priests said Rev any harm. He just like thought I knew. But that's how I found out Miriam Martina was dead.
How likely is it that Trump will be found guilty of paying hush money to former adult film star Stormy Daniels?
We're talking about involvement in serious drugs activity on both sides of the border, and as well as that, the procurement of weapons.
Find and follow us at all the usual spots and over on the Irish Independent website. This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Troy and Hurling Show with me, Michael Burney. And this week I'm also joined once again by Eddie Brennan and John Milan to look ahead to the start of the Championship, which is kicking off on Sunday. Eddie, I'll just throw it to you really quickly. What was this week like as a player? You know the hard work is done. You know Championship is on the horizon. I'd imagine there's a fair hum of excitement going around the country, all the inter-county pans around the country this week.
Yeah, geez, it's gas, John. It is. For players, it's deadly. Sure. So it's, you know, you're at the what all the heavy training is for, you're here, the matches are on. And I think even too, there's probably a decent bit of hope too, if you're down, you know, if you're not starting Sunday and you're on the squad, like there's a high opportunity you're going to go through players. So there's a reality there for players that even if you're 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, whatever it is, you're going to find yourself in the action. And even this week, like it's mad. And I know there's a lot of talk going around about it and Jared Burns, you know, comments yesterday. But I'd almost kind of forgotten, oh, Jesus, we're here at Championship. Do you know the way it just feels strange for April and it's bloody Baltic outside and you're kind of going, oh, God, you know, but it's Championship is here anyway. So there's an element of giddiness, obviously, as a player and you just look forward to it. You just want to get going. And I think you're even, like, what are we, it's Wednesday, like Tuesday night train, you're not doing a whole lot. But Friday now, it's in your head, oh, Jesus, the team, do you know? And I remember... We used to always do it. Brian Cody used to always flick over the chart, like we'd say. He'd have it on a flip chart. And you come in early enough and you'd be trying to see, could you see through the paper? And if you could just, like I make no bones about it. All you wanted to see was one name and what number was beside it. And then you kind of relaxed and took in the rest of it. But there was almost a high in that. And then you're like, yes, and you're saying, what were you worried about? But you actually are. We were always terrified as such. You just wanted your name to be on that sheet and then it was tally-ho, you know, for the weekend. But yes, look, Championship is here now and it's a pity the sun is not shining a bit more, but we won't complain. There's a hurling fest coming.
I totally agree with you, Eddie. We used to have the flip chart in Joe Dooley's day. The only name you looked for was your own and when you didn't see it, by God, you were a low man.
Oh, you sunk.
Yeah. Well, I'd imagine Championship week, you were always on high dough at the best of the times anyway. But imagine Championship week, the nerves would be kind of jangling and you'd be getting ready to go.
But I don't know about Eddie, but down here now, the Cork fans and Waterford fans will be delighted to hear that the sun is shining, Costa del Deixa. The continental weather is starting to come in, Michael. We're hitting 16, 17 degrees today.
Well, yeah, it is. It's predicted for that, yeah.
Forecast for the week is that it's going to be very, very... It's going to be hot, it's going to be sunny, and the weekend is going to be very, very good. So from the player's point of view, I mean, you're half looking, kind of keeping an eye on the forecast as well. You're saying, right, get Tuesday's session out of the way. Tuesday's session, you've all the hard work done. And then, you know, the build-up, you know, you have people on the radio, you're trying to kind of insulate yourself from it, but you're kind of trying to get engrossed in it as well and kind of get yourself, build yourself gradually up. And look, the most important thing, once you have the work, the bank of work behind you, you know, you're saying to yourself, you're ready, the rest should take care of itself. But yeah, I mean, lads, it's a lot of excitement for this weekend. And I think the big thing is that, you know, the weather conditions are picking up, and that's going to have a big bearing on the weekend. You know, in contrast to the last couple of weeks where it's been raining, the ground has been really soft. And I think, you know, Sunday, I think that the likelihood is that it will be, you know, veering towards top of the ground hurling, which is great for going into this weekend's championship.
Well, you were definitely two boys that liked the hard ground, and anyone that was marking you didn't like to see the hard ground. We'd like a little bit of court and maybe a bit of rain as well. But Eddie, what a way to kick off the championship. Like, there's no bigger game, I'd say, at the minute, because given what Limerick and Clare have delivered in recent years, like, what a way to start the championship on Sunday down in Ennis. I believe they're up near 21,000. They've had the capacity extended a small bit. Like, they're going to be like sardines down there. Like, it's the hottest ticket in town.
Yeah, and sure, if you use the old Joe Dolan analogy, send them home sweating. Like, there's no doubt there's going to be four flying on the pitch, a fair few bits of verbals up in the banks, which is all part of it. Like, you know, and I think even when you look at the atmosphere, and John touched on it, this is one of the big things I love about the provincials when they go to the towns, because in 2011, we played our first round, I think, below in Wexford Park on a sunny Saturday evening. There was a doubleheader with football. It was just a brilliant atmosphere. The only pity was we had to, you know, you had to go home afterwards. Like, you'd love to, do you know what, you'd love to kind of enjoy that side of it. I remember we met Larry O'Gorman up in the Carrick Bay, or the Carrick Ferguson, or the, what's it, the Ferry Carrick Hotel, and he was slagging away. But Lester Ryan and Paul Murphy went up to him to get his autograph. It was priceless. And he was all, oh, brother this and brother that. And Larry O'Gorman, 96. And we're like, cheers, Larry, what's the 96 bit about? What great character. But the point, I suppose, I'm making is you're bringing championship to towns and to cities, and it creates a great atmosphere. It creates a local atmosphere as well. And there's, you know, that's what championship is probably about. And, you know, sometimes there is a mighty atmosphere in Thurles and bigger stadiums, but I think this is one aspect of this round robin that's brilliant. So Ennis, I mean, it's going to be there'll be some buzz down there. The Limerick crowd, you know, heading out there. That's one thing that this has created, is that real intense rivalry, real, and, you know, neighbours as well. So, and the same in Waterford. Like, so, Jesus, what a start, what a baptism of fire. Like, and especially then when, you know, Limerick have had that little kind of hit that speed ramp at the end of the league. And now, you know, I suppose the pressure mounts up. And now it's going to be interesting to see Clare on that ultimate high, or a nice high coming into it. So it's teed up lovely for these two matches. And like we said there, I think was it last the week before last we were talking, the pressure is that the consequences of a defeat, your just world just starts to close in on you a small bit, because in 6 or 7 days, you know, your whole season's training now is really, you know, the pressure just mounts. And you say you get two losses or even a draw, you're now fighting for your life, which is, look, that's what championship hurling is about. And that's what we have the weekends. It's going to set the tone. It's going to set some, you know, springboard a team season forward, or straight away, you know, drive a big dent into another team's.
It's mad on Sunday, because if Limerick are beaten, they go to Tipperary a week after. And obviously they're playing for their lives then the week after. If Clare are beaten, they go to Cork the week after. So it's fascinating. It's really bang, bang, bang for those two teams in particular. Mull, just to put a quick one to you. Sean Finn, to me, didn't look right in the league semi-final. I don't know if Declan Hannan was at 100%. Maybe he will be. There's the whole hoo-ha around Kyle Hayes, and he's obviously only played one game. Peter Casey is suspended. Darrow Donovan is injured. Is this the most vulnerable, Mull, that Limerick have been throughout this whole run?
Within the course of the last 5 to 6 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus, lads, if you're John Kiely and you're the Limerick management team this week, it's set up perfect for him. I mean, Eddie touched on it. And look, Eddie can touch on it. But I have no experience of going for five in a row, either of you. Eddie's the only one who can vouch for that. You know, he's been there, you know, and he knows the pressures that come with it. But, I mean, the talk was very diluted in the league. And here we are now entering the first match against Clare. And all the talk is nearly veering towards Clare, and that, you know, Clare nearly favourites now really going into this match, and you know, many people are tipping Clare. That's perfect for Limerick going into this match. And I mean, if what motivation do you need going into this match? You know, right, everyone is building up Clare, and you know, if you're John Coyley, you know, and I'm sure if Eddie was there, or Brian Coley in the past, you'd be a small bit annoyed that, you know, we're the team going for five in a row, and which everyone is nearly writing us off. From what I can gather, you know, talking to Kieran Carey last week on that our game roadshow, you know, training has been ramped up the last four to five weeks, and you know, would you worry about Sean Finn? I most certainly wouldn't, because you know, it was his first game back in the against Kilkenny in the league. Obviously, he was going to be watching himself, but he's a big game player. Declan Hannan is a big game player. Have no doubt Kyle Hayes will start. Is he going to come in for a bit of stick? He most certainly is, because you know, there's probably going to be one or two smart arses in the crowd that are going to probably, you know, throw a couple of jeers his way. But I think, you know, he's experienced. He knows what comes with the territory. I think he'll be fine. You know, you look at their panel beforehand, you know, where they were without Keane Lynch, they were without Declan Hannan at times, they were without Sean Finn, and they got on with the job. And I feel the weekend, it will be a case that Limerick will get on with the job. You know, you'll have other personnel coming in to fill the gaps of Peter Casey and Darragh O'Donovan. It'll be interesting where will they play Kyle Hayes. Will they put him up centre forward, or will they start him wing back? You know, you have the luxury then of playing Mike Casey full back, Dan Morrissey can come out wing back. So they can move the chairs, and when they move the chairs, you know, it's not gonna weaken them. And I think Limerick will be fine. I think they'll be on their guard, you know, after last year, the slow burner that they got off the last year in the Munster Championship. And look, you know, you go back to 12 months ago, everybody was talking that Limerick were just going to be, they were just going to steamroll away through the Munster Championship. And, you know, they nearly came on stuck against Waterford. They got beaten by Clare, and they're on the back foot straight away. So from a Limerick point of view, John Coyley and his managing point of view, I think it's perfect for them going into this Munster Championship that the talk is diluted. They're coming in under the radar. And yeah, I Jesus, I mean, I won't be, I mean, how could you rule this Limerick juggernaut off the weekend? You know, it's very strange. It's very strange. But for me, I still think they're the team to beat, and I still think they're in a very, very good place coming into this match Sunday.
Eddie, John kind of mentioned it there. What are the pitfalls going for five in a row? You're obviously been there, the only hurling team in kind of recent memory that's had a go at it. What are the things that John Coyley and his managing team would be trying to avoid, and the mindset that he'd be trying to build within his players, or has been building for the last couple of months?
Well, there's a few things. I suppose, look, the energy and the hunger, like their hunger, human nature, it has to have waned just a fraction. Like that little bit of dig in, because they know how to dig in better than anyone, and they've had to dig in over the last few seasons to get jobs done. You know, you think of last year, was it two draws and then a win got them through to the Munster final? Like the last day, was it the victory? The last day got them through to the Munster final against Cork. So, you know, they know how to do it by the skin of their teeth. But I suppose the concern is now is, you know, will that 2-3% of energy be enough? You know, the example, you know, you talk about Sean Finn. Okay, Sean Finn is a big day player. He will be all right. But if he's 2% back on what Sean Finn is at his best, that's all it's going to take at this level. You know, he's going to have a lot of feckin' lads on Honda 50s flying around on Sunday below. You know, they're not going to stand around unless Sean, you know, they're going to move him around. They're going to test how fit he is, how mobile he is. The big thing is then is the sideshows, and we touched on them there, but the question marks. And I don't think, you know, you're right, John. You can't doubt this Limerick team, because they've come up with the answers time and time again. And I think you have to, regardless what the bookies think, you have to give them their due. They are the favourites for the All-Ireland. And even if they didn't win Munster this year, they're still going to take beating in the Championship, right? But the pitfalls are, and this is like the sideshows now, the question marks when lads are injured, you know, there's little doubts start to creep in. It's even the talk at home. It's just hard to avoid that talk no matter where you go. And, you know, the psychologically even there, if there's a little, you know, if there's a doubt creeps in halfway through a match, in a way, you're in a match and you go, oh, Jesus, I don't know what we're going to do. Do you know the way you have that, you chat to yourself during a game and you're down or whatever it is? That's when the real test of these lads, like, have they that energy to go? And then, like I said, the side shows, because everything now is going to be Limerick, 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 five in a row. It's just inseparable. And they just, I'm sure, John Kiely being the man that he is, I'm sure this would have been all built into their prep, how they can shut out all that or how they can reduce the amount of exposure to that. But equally, I suppose, little significant factor, and I think we mentioned here a few weeks ago, Carolyn Currid isn't there anymore. You know, Carolyn Currid is not with them this season. So these are all little, you know, we talk about the 1% gain, every 1% gain you make. But equally, it's the other way. The little dints and, you know, the hype, you know, we talked about the hype of training, the interest of training. There's going to be massive, you know, interest in Limerick. And rightly so. They're a team for the ages. Their place in history is secure regardless to what they go. So I suppose if I'm looking at these lads or you're trying to get them motivated, say, lads, this is a free one for us. I think that'd be my approach to this. Lads, we've done what we've done. No one can ever take that them away from us. It's now about saying, can we go again and reach for, you know, absolute heaven? And that's the motivation for them. And try focus on the good stuff and not get sidetracked with stuff that's going to drain them.
But Eddie, if you're John Kiely, you know, we all know how close and how near Clare have been to Limerick the last couple of seasons. I mean, on the last four occasions, I think there's been two draws. Clare have won one and Limerick have won one. So it's nearly 50-50. So I can only imagine John Kiely saying, well, right, we're going to lay down a marker. And there's no better marker to lay down the weekend to go into the Lions Den of Ennis, your nearest rivals, and set the record straight that we are still the top dogs. I can only imagine what's going to be said in training this week. And the likes of the Will O'Donoghues, the likes of the Tom Morrisseys, Kyle Hayes, King Lynch's, I'd say they'll be banging the drum. They'll be banging the drum this week and saying, well, lads, we've a score to settle here that, you know, we need to lay down a marker that, you know, because there's still all this talk around.
And that's, John, just on that, that's human nature, unfortunately. Like, we talk about, say, it's like the Man United. It's like the, you know, the team that's on top, you know, and particularly Irish people, we love the underdog. We love to see the big team taken down. So that's just natural. That's not personal. I think they'll be at ease with that side of it. But like you said, I agree with you completely. If you're in that Limerick camp, what better way to get the juices flowing? And even for Kiely, I suppose the question, very simple maybe for him, if I'm trying to envisage being his shoes, just turn around and say, right, lads, Ennis, Clare on Sunday, we're going to learn whether we're up for a fight this year in the championship and whether we're going to have a cut of five in a row. And it's very, very simple. It's either we stand up, we're either men or mice in regard to the challenge. He's not doubting their character, but he can poke them a little bit and say, right, lads. And you don't have to go ranting and raving. But I do think with that, they will be fired up for this. The other side of it is they need to find that sweet spot between keeping their emotions in check, because I guarantee you, whoever is refereeing Sunday, I don't know who it is.
Colm Lyons
has to keep a handle on this. And I think sometimes Colm can maybe struggle with the pace of games to stay with it. And I just think that what you don't want, and I'm sure he's been told, like I said, this match cannot get out of hands, you know, or whatever, it shouldn't. Like, we want that sweet spot between fiery but not raw. And that's something that Limerick have to make sure to find that sweet spot between emotionally charged but in control of their emotions.
Yeah, they've played on the edge, and they do play on the edge. You just want to make sure you don't veer to the other side of it, because if you're down a man for 20 minutes or something in this game, you're in big bother, as was seen actually when they played in 2018 down in Ennis when they had a man sent off. Mull, just on Clare, I'm kind of thinking about Clare in hindsight, maybe looking back in the league final, and I'm thinking, okay, if you told me before the match was thrown in that TJ Reid wouldn't be playing and Clare would win by 2 points hanging on at the end, I'm kind of thinking, Is that a good result? Is that really good form coming into this weekend? Where do you think they're at? I know they're league champions coming in to the game in Ennis on Sunday. I'm still not totally sold, and I think people are losing the run of themselves a bit on that league, and there was only one score in it at the end. Where do you think Clare are for all the building of the panel and all that? And I know they've the best record in the round robin in the 4 years it's been played. But where do you think they're at coming into Sunday and coming into Munster as a whole?
Ah, well, don't underestimate, Bernie, you know, having to try to break that duck of losing finals. And that brings a bit of pressure as well. Like, you know, so, you know, they were able to break that duck of you know, finally securing silverware under Brian Lowen. So they no longer have
beat
that.
Kilkenny.
You know, and they beat Kilkenny as well. So do not underestimate, you know, having that on the back of your shoulders. That's now gone. And now I think they're going to be kind of a bit free going into this match. I think they're going, as I touched on last week, I'd say, you know, the atmosphere in training the last week and a half in the aftermath of that league final, I'd say, is just top notch. I'd say anywhere they go, the excitement levels around Clare, you know, gearing in towards this match. And Clare are a bit like my own county. I just feel that, you know, when they're at their best, is that, you know, when there's a bit of momentum and, you know, the Clare supporters, everyone is behind them. And that's where I think, you know, Lowen will build their siege mentality going into the weekend. And I think Clare are in a perfect place. I think they're in a really good place. I think they, outside of Limerick, I think they're probably the best equipped to probably push on and win this Munster championship. Now look, they've a tough start, as we well know. We've touched on it. You know, if they were to fall short against Limerick, they have to go down to Cork in 7 days' time, which ain't going to be easy. You know, so after the first two games, they could be we could be sitting back here in you know, Monday week and saying, Jesus, aren't Clare under severe pressure now to qualify from Munster. But on the flip side of that, if they were to get a win Sunday, they're in a fabulous position to push on and try and claim Munster honours and try and win a Munster championship that they haven't won since 1998. No, I disagree, Bernie. I know you're a bit unsure. You know, you're kind of cautious in giving the beck towards Clare, but I think they're in a really, really good place going into this match and going into the Munster championship.
Eddie, what would you do with Tony Kelly? Didn't feature in the 26 for the league final, which would suggest that he wasn't fit to feature in the 26. You know, if he's 85-90% fit, do you start him? Do you name him in the 26 and bring him in with 20 minutes to go? Or what would be, like, as we mentioned in the show before, O'Donnell is a one-off in that he can, you know, play no games and come in and be seamless. Kelly, to me, is a more of a momentum man and needs games. What would you do with him to try and get the best out of him for the team at the weekend?
It's hard to know. I think for me, at most, it's a spot on the bench. That's it. I just, and it depends then on what's happening. I think another week maybe. And even sometimes, look, I suppose when you're in there, it's easy. And this is like, it's when you think of it, if someone said, you're talking about leaving Tony Kelly off and not playing him at all, but it's based on an injury. It's based on the fact he has not played. So I don't know. I don't have, not privy to that information of how fit or how recovered he is. Jesus, would it be impossible to have Tony come in with 10 minutes to go? I think if he's flying fit and has been showing good hurling with the boys, then he could be, like I said there last week, he could be the shot and down with 10 minutes to go, maybe another 5 minutes of injury time, and you're neck and neck or you're a pint up. Jesus, it could be a momentum shift. It could be a blast of energy into the boys or whatever. I think in some ways, it wouldn't be the end of the world either, knowing that, well, I can bring Tony in next weekend's. Do you know, it's the dynamic of the championship and they're the decisions for Lowen. I mean, talk about who would be a manager with all that going on in your head and knowing that you have a generational player there. How fit is he? And that's where Brian Lowen has to trust his eyes and ears this week and in the last week. He has to just keep an eye on everyone and say, are they, you know, behaviour-wise. That's a big thing, like, for a manager. You're looking at what way lads are. You're looking at how, you know, are they chomping at the bit? Are they giddy? Are they overly giddy? Are they under? You know what I mean? That's the job for him. But for me, at a push, if Tony is fit and has been showing well and getting through matches and training, getting around the pitch, I just think for me, he could be part of your strategy going sub number five, maybe with 10 minutes to go, depending on what's happening, but I just think he has a strong enough squad there. Like, it obviously comes down to, and like you said there, John, you know, you see both sides of the arguments. They still have to go and deliver. And the questions could come back to, you know, Mixer's questions then. Oh, God, look, Clare just... But that's the nature of sports. You know, one day you're up, the next day you're down, you're built up, and suddenly you get the knees taken from you and you're back down to scratch, and then the questions start to emerge again. So it's that would be my way of approaching that. And ideally, you'd love even two. Imagine if, you know, maybe you draw or you lose by a point. Tony Kelly is watching there. But that's going to make him more hungrier again. So you have a kind of a backup plan for the following weekend against Cork. And I know this is mad talk because it's the here and now. It's this match. We have to win the first one.
Well, hold on now. I mean, Vernie, you've just touched on, you're kind of half contradicting ourselves here, because in one breath we're saying that Tony Kelly needs to get a bank of games behind him and before he'll get up to speed. So, well then, you know, when is the right time to put him in or to bring him on or even to start him? Because, I mean, if they don't start him or they don't bring him on the weekends, so do you start him against Cork or do you bring him on against Cork? And before you know it, then you've only two games left in the Munster Championship. And those could be the two most important games for Clare. So I just think from Brian Lone point of view, from a Clare point of view, if he's anyway fit at all, right, you don't start him, but most certainly you bring him in, lads. I mean, he's still going to take watch. And at the end of the day, he's Tony Kelly. He's a generational player. He's probably Clare's greatest player. I mean, if you were bringing him in with 20, 25 minutes to go, I mean, and he's buzzing around the place, even if he's 60, 70% fit, he's still going to take, you know, he's going to take a lot of eyes to keep an eye on him. And, you know, if Limerick aren't prepared to put the eyes on him and stay within their system, you know, he can pick up a couple of loose balls and he can very easily throw it over the bars. But for me, I think you'll see Tony Kelly in the 26, and I think he'll play a big part of the weekend.
Yeah, but that's the thing, I suppose, John, and it's not. Look, I absolutely agree with what you're saying. There isn't opportunity, so it comes down to what the boys have seen in training and how good, you know, that is. And that's the, there, like I said, that's the decision making. That's the dilemma for Lone. It works out. It's brilliant. It was master. Well done. If not, you throw him in. You potentially have a couple of other lads now with faces on them. Do you know, and that's the nature of team sport. Like, if you land in Tony Kelly, say, well, boys are all good enough up to now and they're going well and this, that, and the other. They don't have his experience. They don't have all that. But at the same time, the boys, I think, have most certainly earned the right. But like I said, it comes down to how much training he has done with the Clare team and how good he has been in those internal matches. That's where the decisions make it. But like you said there, the luxury of challenge matches is gone. The Kilkenny League final. And I think that's significant for me. If he wasn't ready to play 10 or 15 minutes in that league final, I don't know. It just remains. And look, all be revealed.
Well, I'll be straight to it. Murmurings coming out of Clare is that he was good to go for that league final. And, you know, Lone held him back. And that took a bit of the balls to do now, you know, to hold him back. Because if they didn't win that league final, you know, people would be questioning, well, you know, Tony was good to go. But from what I can gather, the Murmurs coming out of Clare, he was good to go for that league final. And I think they were just holding him back for the Limerick game, you know.
Well, what about the Murmurs in Waterford, John? Your round robin record is not good. I think it's 2 wins, 1 draw, 13 losses from 16 games. Well, like, I know people are talking about the tickets for Sunday in Walsh Park, and they went back on general resale, and there could be more Cork supporters there than Waterford supporters. Like, what are you expecting from Waterford on Sunday and going forward? Is there much expectation in Waterford? And are people kind of voting with their feet of whether they're behind this team or not, maybe by not showing up? What do you expect?
No, look, a lot of positivity coming back on the ticket sales. There's after being a big surge in ticket sales since they've gone on back on general sale. And to be fair, an awful lot of Waterford supporters would be, you know, to go to championship games, wouldn't be attached, wouldn't be associated with a club. So maybe even going forward, that may be something that might have to look at going forward is that, you know, if the clubs don't sell out their allocations, that, you know, there's an opportunity for the ordinary Joe to go up. Like, you might, like, you would have, like, we'd have a big sporting city here in Waterford. And Waterford in general is a big sporting county. So what you have is an awful lot of the soccer guys who would follow Waterford FC would then come and support Waterford throughout the summer in the championship games. And vice versa, I'd often go down to, I hope you see, take it over with Waterford FC in it. But if they were playing the Rovers or they're playing Bohemians or something, I'd say, yeah, you know what, I'm going to go to that game. So by from what I'm hearing, tickets are after, the tickets is very positive that, you know, there's after being a surge in tickets and that, you know, a lot of Waterford supporters that aren't attached to clubs will have to get their hands on tickets. So that's positive. So I think it'll be very much nearly 50-50. I don't think Cork supporters will outnumber us the weekend. On expectation levels, they're low, but there's a small bit of optimism creeping in the last week or so. What are my expectancy levels of this team? This group of players, Vernie, we've seen time and time again, when you write this group off, that's when they come at a performance. And even, you know, you're hearing some of the talk out there that Waterford are going to be beaten by double-digit scores. They're going to be hammered the weekend. I mean, if you're a Waterford player and you're hearing that, I mean, mother of God, like, for people to be throwing that out there, that Cork are going to come into Welsh Park. Whatever they're down, it was down in Parky Quay or Torres, the Cork are going to come down to Welsh Park and they're going to hammer Waterford and beat us by double-digit scores. I mean, I'd say Davy Fitzgerald is rubbing his hands, and I can only imagine what he's going to be throwing at the players this week, that everyone is writing you off. Everyone is saying they're going to be hammered. I mean, let's go through this Waterford team. Let's be realistic. I know they didn't have a good league campaign. I know results haven't gone their way in the last couple of campaigns. But let's be realistic. There's some serious talent. Prunty is back. The Bulk is back. Irla Daly is back. Baron is back to himself. Harry Leaney's putting his hand up. I mean, go through the forward line. You know, Caelan Lyons, who's probably an injury doubt, he's a serious player. Desi Hutchinson, Patrick Sherrill, Michael Kiley, Jack Pendergast, who else? They're serious players. They are serious players. And all it's going to take is, if they hit form on Sunday, and from the get-go, if they can get the crowd behind them, I think this game is going to be very, very close. And I think it's going to be an awful lot closer than what many people are suggesting. And I see this game going down to the wire. And if you're a Waterford player and you're seeing some of the Cork players and you're seeing the Cork team named, you're still saying to yourself, well, hold on now a minute. We've beaten them in two league finals. We've beaten them in an All-Ireland semi-final. Some of these Cork players, there's still question marks over that have been playing the last 10 years. You know, when Waterford have come up against some of these Cork players the last 10 years, they've beaten them on many occasions in some big games. So I think there's optimism is starting to grow, and I foresee that this is going to be a very, very close game the weekend. And Jesus, if people were writing me off the land saying that you were going to be hammered in your own home ground by double digit scores, I'll tell you now, as Eddie touched on, finding that little medium, controlling it. But I tell you something, the hinges, the tables will be coming off the Welsh Park doors Sunday if we're being rolled off the way we're being rolled off. And I'm only hoping that these players realise that this is a massive, massive game. And if Waterford were to overcome Cork the weekend, Jesus, the whole thing, you know, the feel-good factor would come on board. There'd be no problem with ticket sales for Tipperary in 2 weeks' time. And all of a sudden, it will put Waterford in a fantastic position to go and contest this Munster championship and put themselves in a fantastic position to put them in a fantastic position to try and get into that top three.
Well, I'd be putting you in the dressing room beforehand. I have the goose pimples here now. I feel like I'm
Braveheart. Braveheart, boy.
Braveheart is right. You'd be ready to go, but they do need that hellfire and brimstone. And I think they need to take the shackles off on Sunday. And I have to remember, last year, probably their best performance of the year outside the Tipperary game was that first game against Limerick, where they had planned for that. They knew months in advance who they were playing.
Even from the Cork point of view, it's the worst time to be playing Waterford. I mean, you'd rather be playing Waterford in round two or round three, where you know you can buy him up. Or if, say, if Waterford were playing Tipperary in the first game, and you know they throw everything at Tipperary, and you can get a good gauge of where they're at. But Cork are coming down, and I think Pat Ryan, and I know Doug O'Rourke, I'll be friendly with Doug. They won't be anyway complacent. I don't think the Cork players will be complacent. They'll know what's coming Sunday, and I think they'll show the ultimate respect to Waterford. But you know, from a Cork point of view, you'd nearly rather that you be playing Waterford in round two or round three, because you just don't know what you're going to get from this Waterford team Sunday.
Yeah, and look, I think Waterford arguably play their best hurling when it's just let the shackles off and go for it, and obviously then it's making sure that we don't leave ourselves open at the back. I suppose I didn't realise there was that much talk out there that Cork were coming with that. But, and I think it's mad that would be the kind of narrative, because Cork haven't done anything to show us that they're going to head down to Walsh Park and steamroll Waterford. They haven't shown us that. So I don't see how they would be that, or whoever is making them that overwhelming favourites, because that's just, you know, especially going in someone's backyard. And there is still question marks over this Cork team. They've loads of talents. They've loads of attacking options. I suppose for me, it's what Cork team comes down. Like, they come down drilled and ready to go. Both teams were coming into it. We don't know what we're going to see until ball is thrown in. And afterwards, then we'll get a real feel, because we obviously haven't seen them in a couple of weeks. For me, I still think, look, the only way you answer questions is you deliver on the pitch, and both of these teams haven't delivered on the pitch, whether we like it or not. That's just the reality, and it's not been critical of either team until they get to a Munster final, or till they start clipping teams on a regular basis. Cork are probably one of the biggest enigmas of all time. Like, they're up, they're down, they're capable, but yet they're not able to get the job done. That's the reality. So and Waterford, I think Waterford are under their transition. They're changing their panel. There's a lot of new faces after coming in. There's still a lot of experience there. And I suppose my thing is, as well, is they again have a lot to prove. But it's what kind of a trick, if anything, can Davy pull out of his hat? Because I think he'll need more than emotion. I think he'll need more than that. And that's an element. I think that's an important part, John, of the Waterford psyche. We always felt when we were playing Yee that it was and I mean this in the best of respect, and we spoke about this in the run into the 08 All-Ireland, saying that these Waterford boys thrive on a bit of madness and just going. And if they get on a roll, that's where they're very difficult to deal with. That's where they get momentum. It's very hard to stop that. You know, so you're saying you have to stop that at source. And that was the way we were approaching that, saying, no, they cannot get any foothold in the match. So that's what Cork won't want to happen on Saturday, because they will. The crowd, like you said, the crowd will get behind them. But I think equally, they have to deliver something a little bit. You know, they're going to have to deliver some strike moves or whatever it is. I'm just waiting to see, because Davy is under pressure. He has been under pressure down there to deliver this. So I'm waiting to see what's going to come up. And I just think that it's going to be a feast or a famine for him, because if it clicks and they get over the line, Jesus, this is and they get a break then to reset and go again. What a way to be leading into it. But I think there is question marks over both teams.
But you're 100% right. Like Waterford's performance, right? Like, you can build that emotion into it, but you're 100% right. But I think an awful lot of this is going to lie at Davy's door. You know, what way Waterford are going to perform on the weekend. Are we going to see, you know, similarities the way they played in the league, where it was just, you know, getting bodies behind the ball, flooding the middle third, you know, overdoing it on the passing? Or are we going to go a bit more direct, a little bit more conventional, and, you know, let these Waterford players express themselves, you know? And I think that's where Waterford are at their best, when they don't have to overthink things. And I think that has to be married into with the emotion the weekend, where these Waterford players are allowed to express themselves the weekend and play to our strengths. We have, as I touched on, the last few weeks, we've some of the best inside forwards in the country. Get as much fast, quick ball into our inside line, and we can cause any full backline problems. And I think Davey has got to marry the emotion, as you just touched on there, he's got to marry the emotion with setting up this team in the best way that gives them the best opportunity to go and win the match Sunday.
But tip or the odd one out this weekend, man. They are, they're not playing this weekend. They're actually in Portugal at the minute. Yeah, Monday, they're back on Friday, which is, I don't know, it's interesting. I think the proximity to Championship is peculiar, I would have said. But they're playing Limerick the following week, and then they're down to Waterford the week after. So they have two big games coming up straight as well. We'll probably leave the tip chat for another day. Men, Munster 1-2-3. Bull, give me your Munster 1-2-3.
I'm going with Limerick, Clare, and I think it's going to come down to Cork, Tipperary, Waterford. Between those, I think it's those two games in the space of 2 weeks between Waterford and Cork and Waterford and Tipperary. I suppose going on Waterford's league form, I think it's hard to make a case for them. But if they were to overcome Cork the weekend, they're in a fantastic position. Tipperary, on the other hand, again, you know, it's hard to make a case for them. You know, the way their league campaign finished up. I'm going to put all the pressure on Cork the weekend. I'm going to go for Cork to finish in third. I'm only going to be hoping that my Waterford.
Are you Davy Fitz in disguise?
No, look, I've tipped Waterford.
Davy is there beside you in the van. No Muller, tell him it's Cork.
I'm going to lean towards Cork because I just feel that if Cork were to come on Stoke the weekend, I still think they can recover. And I still think they could pick up two or three wins. They play Clare the following weekend. They've Limerick at home and they've Tipperary up in Thurles. I just feel that if Waterford were to come on Stoke the weekend, it's very difficult to go up the end. It's very difficult to go to Limerick. And yeah, that's why I'm going to lean towards Cork. I think
Limerick, Clare, Cork from all. Limerick, Clare, Cork. Perfect. Ned, give me your 1-2-3.
I'm going to go with, I'm again, look, this is always throwing a banana. It just tears up the script when you try to predict something here. It's like trying to be asked which is your favourite child. But I'm going to go, that might be a slightly different, I think there might be a different Munster final this year. I'm going to go for Clare Cork 1-2 and Limerick to get through as third. And what I would love, my dear Santa, in the summer, is that by the time Tip roll into Waterford, that everyone has won and everyone has lost, that would be just brilliant. Like, you want to get, it'd be brilliant. It would just, for the game and for the interest in it, I think it'd be savage. Like, what you don't want now is a team getting two wins. I'd love this because it really puts so much now. And this is some, like, as I said, it's your show pony events with the cutthroat nature of it. So if they were all to win and all to lose, or trying to two draws or something like that, Jesus, that would just make this mount the next phase, we say the first two or three rounds and then the last couple of rounds, brilliant.
Well, I was just going to touch on it there. Like, I think both games the weekend are going to be very, very close. I like a little flutter, and I'll be back in the double draw. I'm going to back a double draw. I think it's about 98-1 for the double draw. So that's where I'll be having me 5 or 10 or the weekend. So yeah, I wouldn't rule out two draws the weekend. And Jesus, imagine if you were going into week two and, you know, four teams were on 1 point. Wouldn't that be unbelievable?
Saying off air, I think before the 2002 Munster final, you landed a right punt on Ronaldo to be top goal scorer in Brazil to win the World Cup. And you had a good time spending your winnings over the next couple of days while celebrating the Munster title as well. But Ned, I throw it to you. Like, is a Leinster title non-negotiable for Henry this year after the last 2 years? Like, I'll be straight with you. Barring they get to an All-Ireland final or win an All-Ireland final through the back door, unless they win Leinster, like, I honestly think that could be the end of the road.
Yeah, I think there's huge pressure on him. And look, knowing Henry, he will have no better man to put that pressure on himself. And he'll have drilled this into the players. This is what they want. But they obviously have to take a couple of steps in that. And you know, Wexford's coming at them from the very start, like, is going to be interesting. I think he has to deliver silverware of some sort. And that's just the nature of the beast. It's not Jesus. That's what's the expectation. They've been heartbroken a few times now, no more so than last year. That'll be fresh in their minds. And he just seems, look, year three, he probably knows his clients a bit better. He knows what kind of characters he has, who he can rely on in those moments. And I think as well, too, for this Galway team, it's almost, there's some of them coming to the end of the line. There's some of them probably, you know, they need that. If you know, they won the All-Ireland and they were brilliant and they were so close as well the following year when Limerick done them. But they need silverware. And that definitely, it's like, you know, if that doesn't come in the form of the Leinster title, then the world is closing in around them a little bit as well. Like, it really cranks up the pressure. And I suppose, look, they've been close to Limerick. At the same time, you're probably looking at it. If that was to be the scenario, you go, oh, please, I don't want to see them coming in All-Ireland semi-final again. But yeah, it's piss or get off the pot, and that's the cutthroat nature of it. And yeah, there's going to be a few gimmies there that he just gets to work his way through it and get them right. But obviously then, you know, heading to Wexford and going and Kilkenny coming to town, they're the big ones. And then, you know, it depends what Dublin produce. We haven't seen that really. Could they? Dublin have shown before, no better lads to obsess Galway. So that one to Parnell Park, is it? Or is it Croker, Parnell?
That's no, it's Salt Hill.
Yeah, that changes that then a little bit. It makes it a small bit more easier. And that's, look, with respect to the other teams involved.
Mull, where do you see Kilkenny at going into Leinster this year? Mad to think they're going for five in a row. And like the past 4 years, they probably haven't been favourites to win Leinster. And Galway have a much better round-robin record. They were only beaten, you know, one score in a league final. A lot of new players in. Jordan Malloy in middle of the field. I think Keane Kenny's probably nailed down a place, maybe middle of the field. Shane Murphy coming into defence. They played a league final without TJ and the world didn't end either. Is that a good sign of where they are at going into Leinster?
They're still a team to beat. There's still a team to beat in Leinster. And I'll tell you why. It's down to trust. You can trust them, you know every day that they go out, whether it be down at Wexford Park or up in Salt Hill or even in Nolan Park or even in, you know, Crow Park, you know what you're going to get. They're going to try every day they go out, you know, they're going to keep fighting to the end. They're going to give 100% for the cause. And look, for me, you know, I still think they're in a very, very good place. You know, even go back to the league final, you know, if that game went down for another 5 minutes, there was only going to be one winner. Kilkenny were pushing. They probably would have won that league final, knowing that you still have TJ to come in. TJ can still cut the cheese at 36 years of age. We've seen that in the league semi-final, where they have the luxury of putting him in on the edge of the square. You have that aerial threat inside. You have the likes of Mikey Carey coming back. They didn't have Mikey Carey last year. They didn't have Blanchfield in the All-Ireland final. So yeah, and look, they still have two very, very good forwards up front in Mullen and Owen Cody to coincide with TJ Reid. Midfield is a bit of a problem. Centre back is a bit of a problem, I think. But yeah, I think they're finding a couple of players along the way. Jordan Malloy, will he fill that midfield gap? He'd encourage in league. I like the look of Blanchfield's younger brother. I think he could grow into that midfield position. He's a good player. But yeah, for me, I still think Kilkenny will be okay. They'll be knocking around that Leinster final. They'll be knocking around an All-Ireland quarter-final, an All-Ireland semi-final. And again, as the old saying, whoever's going to beat Kilkenny, whether it be in a Leinster final or in a knockout hurling, they're going to have to play very, very well to beat them.
Eddie, just a massive game this weekend in the context of Leinster with Wexford hosting Dublin. That will go a long way to decide who takes that third spot anyway. I think in the throughout the round robin the 4 years, I think Dublin have beaten them twice. They drew in 2019. And they both have 19 points accumulated from that round robin. Like, there's very, very little to separate them, isn't there, going into this weekend?
Yeah, they do. And I suppose what it is it's a good stiff test at the start of it. And then is it Galway next up then for Wexford? I think is that the way it's rolling?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
so like that's a baptism of fire for Roster. But I do think they're in a good place. I'd fancy them against Dublin. I really do. I think they're capable of getting to that Leinster final. I think if there was a little surprise this year, it might be them pinching a spot in the Leinster final, because they don't fear anyone, you know. And like I said, Dublin have been a stumbling block for them. So if they can get good results the weekend, and I think they will. I think they're in a decent spot now. It just depends what tricks Dublin have or how Dublin can unsettle them. Because Wexford then is the 25th of May, then is the last match in Nolan Park. That could be their ticket to a Leinster final. So I would imagine Roster is looking at this and licking their lips. They were kind of very, very close last year. I'd imagine that's a little bit of a motivating factor. But it obviously depends on him getting his best 15 on the pitch. Rory O'Connor, Conor Mac, he needs his best lads on
all
the pitch.
All fit at the minute, bar Liam Ryan, David O'Keefe, yeah.
Okay. And maybe then, like I said, with maybe D. O'Keefe and Liam Hogan, they're great war horses that will go the distance, but they've been through a lot. So maybe his experienced heads like that, the steering at home, he has a nice balance about his team. He has a lot of youth and energy about it. And I think going into a championship against Dublin, you probably have to find that balance with it. Like, I'd be happy enough with some of what he's seen from some of his young lads. And we spoke about Casey as well. I think Casey has been arguably, you know, a real good, consistent performer for him. And he seems to be enjoying his hurling as well. Matty Handon came back in there at last. They got a couple of minutes and they're just coming around. So it depends. Look, I'd imagine they're energised enough. They should be fresh. They should be mad for Ode. And if they get the results, I think that's a really nice start to it. Because then they're going to Salt Hill, is it?
Yeah.
They can have a right cut. Do you know, if you have 2 points in the bag and you're heading to Salt Hill, you can go with real confidence and have a cut knowing it's not the end of the world for you. Do you know, you have other matches. But then look, we seen last year they'll be mad to exercise that ghost last year because they're the knees taken from them by Westmead. And I'd imagine that is very much a motivating factor for this Wexford group.
Dublin and Wexford in a very, very similar position with a lot of their big guns kind of coming back for the league. Like Zone O'Donnell come back into the fray for Dublin. Crummy was back during the league. Sutcliffe missed a few games, so he's back. Ronan Hayes will be back as well. And then obviously, Antrim showed last year that there's always a possibility of an upset. Should have beaten Dublin in Corrigan Park. Westmead showed last year that there's always the possibility of an upset too. So Carlo and Antrim will take some heart that they could possibly get a result somewhere along the way, and it mightn't just all ride on that game between the two of them. But it probably is all about survival, realistically, for the two of them. But just give me your top three in Leinster.
I won't be surprised if Wexford make that Leinster final, and then it's whatever way they make it. I have a feeling it could be a Wexford Kilkenny Leinster final. I suppose I obviously know what I want there, but I'm going to go with, look, I think it'll be Galway, Wexford and Kilkenny, and whatever order then they come out in. But obviously the head-to-heads are going to be important and where the cards fall there. And sure, look, predict the lottery numbers.
Mull, 1-3 in Leinster.
Jesus, Vernie, I'm very, very surprised with you. You've dedicated nearly 40 minutes talk towards the Munster Championship and you've given just 5 minutes talk towards the Leinster Championship.
My hands are tied. I would say if you talk to 10 people and you talk to them about hurling, 9 of them will want to talk to you about the Munster Championship. And that's just the way it is at the minute. That's not to say that Kilkenny couldn't be back in All-Ireland Final or Galway couldn't be. But that's the nature of it. But
doesn't it just show you the imbalance of, you know,
oh, yeah,
the Munster Championship, week one, Tipperary or Clare, Limerick, Waterford, Cork, they have to be at it from the get-go. Whilst, you know, some of the Leinster teams, they can just ease their way into it, ease their way into the Leinster Championship, build themselves up for the next couple of weeks, knowing that, you know, they're probably going to be in the Leinster final, or they're going to be in the top three. They're going to be in the All-Ireland.
Sorry, John, it's probably that you get the recovery and the reset time, whereas in Munster you probably don't, and Leinster, exactly, you know that. And meet this with the height of respect, you have to be realistic about it. You don't have that high pressured match coming. You know that you have to deliver. You have to respect your opposition, but you have the luxury of knowing that, you know, we should get through this. Whereas the psychological impact in Munster is completely different.
Right, I'll give you my top three. I'm going to go Galway, Kilkenny, and Wexford, and I'm going to go for Galway to win the Leinster Championship this year.
Okay, Mull, you're all Ireland winners.
Limerick to do the five in a row.
Eddie.
Oh Jesus! I'd find it hard to go against them because they do come up with the answers all the time. It's the challenge of their lives. Immortality beckons for them, and I do think they should just, if you know, you look at it differently, they should really enjoy this and embrace it and try, you know. And it's a hard thing to do, shut out the outside noise, but they've managed that. They're one, in fairness to them, they managed that quite well. And imagine Kylie will. It's just how high they get or how insulated they get. I suppose it's just finding that nice sweet spot. But I'd find it hard to still go against them because they could come through as number three in Munster. And I think that would be an ideal place for them to come through. You know, I don't think it would bother them. Yeah, it'd be another match that they don't need. But I'd still find it hard, to be fair, lads. And we all want new champions. You'd love to see a new team getting up there and getting up the steps. I still have to give them their due respect. They have earned it, and I would still find it very hard to see them, you know, not getting the job done.
Great stuff, men. That's it for this week's show. My thanks to Eddie Brennan and John Milan for joining me. We'll be back on Monday. And in the meantime, don't forget to review and follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast from. Thanks a million for listening, and goodbye.